I'd like to welcome a wonderful guest into the studio. Her name is Sarah Evian. And gee whiz, what an accomplished lady you are. For years and years and years, you've been teaching us about spirituality and how to bring it into our lives in a very practical and a meaningful way. I remember, I think it was, Chai Fem must have been about a year old, when we first started having a conversation about the energies of every month. Every month has its own energy, and that's why Rosh Chodesh is important. Like you kind of brought it home for me, Sarah. And, you know, I've kind of followed you and seen what you're doing, and now you've put out your own prayer book, which is just amazing. And I was saying to Simon that when you know what every prayer means, beyond the words, where it comes from, the context, the mystical side of it, it's got a different weight. It's got a different bearing. How do you come to this knowledge?
It's been a long journey. I started off, when I was much younger, I was one of those hippies, and I was drawn to the East, but landed up, on my way to the East, in Central America. And, I started wanting to have a more personal relationship with God, because I knew that God existed. That was something inherent, in my knowledge. And I was brought up in a traditional house. And so I started on the journey learning Jewish mysticism, which was amazingly similar to the Eastern philosophy that I was attracted to in the beginning. And that was in a sense lost to us growing up in the 60s and 70s. We all, you know, Judaism became a little bit dry, and what we had access to in the schools and the shuls was very unattractive. And God,
right, which is why so many Jews went off to the East, because they were talking about meditation and spirituality and being one with the universe, right?
Exactly. And even the concept of reincarnation, it was so foreign to Judaism. And yet it's very much the basis of it. You know, you hear about souls traveling and
transmigration,
moving
and
transmigrating, exactly. So, when that became accessible, it was a journey that became so wondrous. And so I've been on that journey for a good 45 years.
Oh, well, they say you can't learn Kabbalah until you're 40. So you're ready to start?
Well.
How are you perceived by the mainstream?
I feel very accepted. I feel very accepted by the mainstream, actually.
I think your knowledge is very respected.
I haven't had, you know, I feel accepted.
Okay, no, it's just interesting to me, because very often when one comes with a different take on things and it's not mainstream, it's kind of, don't go there, that's threatening, that's a problem.
I think things are changing. I think the mainstream is expanding, and none of what I'm learning or saying or is out of the mainstream necessarily. It's just maybe got a deeper strain to it or a different strain to it, but nothing is out of the mainstream.
But also, I think that shuls are having to accommodate and change, not change in that they are having to move away from Judaism, but they are having, rabbis certainly are having to move away from the thou shalt and the thou shalt not, and to talk about spirituality. And if you cannot get a spiritual experience at shul, you're going to daven at home. Why go to shul?
Or, like me, you're just not going to daven at all, because the way Judaism was taught to me was, what malacha are you forbidden to do on Shabbat? And I think there were how many hundreds, from squeezing a toothpaste tube to pulling off a piece of dental floss. I know you can't do that. Now, and how did that enrich me?
I'm
or make
just
me
blown
wiser,
away that you even know that.
Me, no, I do know that. I do know that, because my very religious cousin, who's Chassid, actually, was looking for a piece of dental floss on Shabbat. And, well, you know what? That just didn't happen.
There's special floss, I'll show you.
I'm sure there is. But the point is, you can concentrate on the legalistic side of it, or you can look a little deeper into it. And had I been taught, because all that stuff you're talking about resonates with me enormously, but it was never, in 13 years of Jewish day school, it was never touched.
Isn't that interesting, huh?
There's a criticism to
Well, I think that's the evolution of the religion. I think that, you know, coming from the Holocaust and Judaism, I think was also perceived. I think we've been very influenced by the Christian concept of the sin in the garden and God being this malevolent male punishing figure in the heavens that's watching every move you make so that you can be struck, so that he in the male can strike you, and we both talking the strike and the struck and the.
Really interesting.
From before. And that's changing. And for me, what's most fascinating is that it's not changing from God's perspective. It's that we are evoking it and willing it and wanting it to change. And in a sense, God, we are calling forth a different aspect of Hashem.
Yeah, we're actually driving it. And I think that's something that's also enabling it, Sarah. You'll disagree with me, but I think that social media is actually uniting more people on that basis. You know, this spiritual thirst than any other platform, you know, because what happens in church happens and stays in church or the mosque or synagogue. But social media is where it's kind of an equalizer and we have conversations irrespective of one's religion.
I'm so nervous having any input to this because I'm so not religious. I just feel like I'm going to
tread
on these and
get
into trouble. But I'm looking at your book and I flick through it very, very, very quickly.
Yeah, you can look
and
at your
ultimately,
book.
And ultimately, it's a lot of, it's the prayer book. You've just added in bits. And so here's a prayer. What I'm saying is the mechanics of saying the same thing every single morning of, I go to shul and I see people whizzing through the Amidah to get through it as quickly as they can because people aren't actually looking at the meaning anymore. It's become ritualistic. To what extent have you managed, what have you done to make it non-ritualistic?
Okay, so firstly, the thing about this prayer book is it's a very abridged prayer book. Because I became very aware that for anyone who's never learned how to pray, or even if you have learned how to pray, you pick up an art scroll and it's like 957 pages and every page looks the same. You know, whether it's Shachris or Mincha or Maariv, and if you don't know how to pray, you really don't know the difference. And you pick up this book and it's so intimidating and so unattractive that you don't get drawn into it. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we tried to do was to find the essential prayers. So this prayer book has only got a few prayers in it. It's not overladen with lots and lots of prayers, because most people can't say all those prayers, and if they do, a lot of it's just mindless.
So what would you consider to be essential prayers?
So we, you know, this is in contact with rabbis, and we were told which are the main essential prayers in the morning.
Okay, so you got to the Shema.
This is a morning prayer book. So, and this prayer book is written in with mind of the five levels of the soul. We learn, the Arizal tells us there are five levels of the soul.
Okay, Arizal was, he lived in Sfat, he was a Kabbalist, he was a very, very serious Kabbalist. It's a mystic. Alright, so he told us about the five levels of the soul.
So he tells us that every soul has got five aspects to it. The physical, the emotional, the intellectual, the transcendent level, and the level that's always connected to godliness. It's a spark of God above. And we also told that when Jacob had the dream on the mountain, that there was a ladder going upwards from where
and
Jacob
lay. And there were angels coming up and down. And, right.
So the sages teach us that that's prayer. That is a metaphor for prayer, going up and coming down. That prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. And that the rungs on the ladder actually mirror the five levels of the soul.
I love that. Don't you love that? The prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue.
Yeah, it's just very foreign to me to even think of it in those terms. It's pretty amazing. It's quite revolutionary, actually.
And so you start at the beginning and the morning prayers, the physical aspect of it. You start saying the prayers being aware of what it is that your physicality, your body, your eyes, that your body's working and the things that you physically need. So we've chose the major brochas that you say in the morning, from waking up and washing your hands and doing things that involve your body. And then you move to your more emotional state of praise. These are called Pesukei Dezimra. They're songs of praise.
Beautiful.
And it's about seeing the interconnectedness of nature and the human being and the planet. Starting to see, and your heart feels warmed by those songs. And we're supposed to sing them, not rattle them off without knowing. We're supposed to sing those, which opens your heart. And then you go into your intellectual space, which is where one is able to appreciate the oneness of God and the oneness of the universe, and that we are really all part of the same oneness. We're all part of the same oneness.
Look at my colleague. He's throwing his hands up like he's hearing this for the first time.
No, I'm actually, this lady is remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. And it's so funny how so much of what you say resonates so unbelievably strongly with me. There's just never been a framework to put it in. And I never thought that Judaism had the space for that sort of approach. So
it is deeply steeped in it. Deeply, deeply steeped in it. It's just, I can't say it's been lost. In a way, it's being found again by our generation who are needing it more.
Right, because when one goes to a rabbi and says, why do we do this? And the rabbi says, because God says so, is not enough of an answer anymore.
Yeah.
But rabbis aren't saying that anymore today.
Exactly.
You don't find a rabbi saying that today anymore. That's really, really old-fashioned religion, in a sense.
Yeah. Sarah, I'm just watching the time. I'm speaking to Sarah Evian. She has put out this magnificent, magnificent prayer book. It's very, very interesting, is that it's got two sides. So if you start on the right side... Is it the right side?
That's actually the left side.
The left side, okay. On the left side, it's got a purple cover. It says, Beloved of the Soul, Siddur, Mystical Insights, Daily Morning Prayer Book by Sarah Evian. And that's what it is. It's all the different descriptions, exactly what Sarah has been talking about, the different levels of the soul, the different prayers and how they relate to the different levels of the soul. Prayer is a process. It also takes you through a very physical process. You know, you can be so steeped in prayer that the room around you disappears. You know, there's very, it's very transformative, very transformative. The right side of the book has actually got a gray cover. It's called Beloved of the Soul, Soul for Prayers, and that is the actual prayer book. Sarah, where do we get your book? Where is it available?
So it's at all the Jewish bookshops, Kollel, Chabad, and Judaica. But we specially created a book that actually looks beautiful.
It does look beautiful.
To change that, the 957 pages of just script. So it's got beautiful images from Poland and Prague, the shuls, beautiful natural images, and there are short sayings of Psalms and from our sages that are very emotive. I think they're quite emotive. So just flipping through the book is a bit of an experience more than a book.
It really is. And you can come back to it again and again and again. Sarah Evian, thank you very, very much. I think we need to get you back some
more. That's just what I was thinking. This is not a once only. Need to be back and talk more and probe these things. And
have a conversation.
Yeah.
I'd love that, a dialogue.
The dialogue. We'll pray with you. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
That's Sarah Evian. You can get to any of the Jewish bookshops, and it's called Beloved of the Soul. It is a siddur, and it goes into the mystical insights, and anybody can use it because nobody owns the copyright on God. Just saying.